last two messages we had were on the citizenship of heaven, being a heavenly citizen, to make sure you have your passport, so to speak. And then last week we talked about privileges and the rights and the way that we should live as citizens of heaven, because that's our calling, that's our life. And as we continue in Philippians, we find that the challenge is given to us that we are to live a certain way. And so as it speaks about being citizens of heaven, we begin to see some practical instruction that's given here. Practical things. How should I live? How should I live as a Christian? What's different about me than a non-Christian? Is there any difference? Well, there should be some difference. There should be a difference in our conduct, in our character, in the way that we live. And so when we come to this passage, this section that we're going to look at today, I said I would say, follow your head and let your heart follow that. Because so many people are making decisions based on how they feel in a given moment. And they make some pretty radical decisions. Sometimes somebody just says, oh, I just met somebody and I'm sure I'm in love. Bang, off they go to the races. And things can go pretty badly south in those kinds of situations. Because they're not following reason in the matter. God gave you each a mind. You know, one of the challenges or one of the things that people say about people who are religious or even people who follow God, they're all brainwashed. They don't have a mind of their own. You're just being brainwashed by somebody or something. But that's not the way God works. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1, God says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. God is a reasonable God. And he made each of us with minds. He didn't make us mindless creatures. He made us to have a mind that functions and that thinks and reasons things through. That's what really makes us distinct from the animals around us. He made us. We're a special creation. And we're made to have the ability to think things through. And to reason things through, and not just to follow impulses in the moment. But we are moving in our society to a place where people are checking their brains at the door, and they are just going following whatever impulse they have. Whatever feels good, do it. That seems to be the philosophy of our age. And even, you know, you can find some seemingly harmless things like, if I remember when Grace was small, we watched The Little Mermaid more than once. Many times more than once. Anyway, there's a little lobster, if I remember, his name was Sebastian. Is that right? Sebastian. And he used to sing a song, if you follow your heart, something like that. And it was the whole idea that, you know, just follow your heart and you'll be okay. You know what the Bible says about the heart of man? It's desperately wicked. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. Follow the truth. And if you follow the truth, then your heart will follow this, the truth. And your heart will be in a good place. God is not an unemotional God. God is not a God who isn't into feelings. He's much into feelings. I mean, if you read the whole Bible, you'll find over and over again, God is shown as a person who feels deeply. He made us emotional beings. And we were made in the image of God, which tells us that God himself is an emotional being. But emotions cannot short circuit or sidetrack truth. Truth must always be at the forefront in your life and in my life, or we're going to find ourselves in very messy places. And many people do. I have. And you have, I'm sure, as well. So it begins the practical instruction. I referred to this last week, but just very quickly, he was encouraging two ladies to be of the same mind in the Lord. That obviously there was division in the church over something. And he was saying, get this straightened away. This is not worth being divisive. And so there's a practical thing here, and that is look for every opportunity to be of the same mind in the Lord. This doesn't mean that we're all, can't even think of the word, anyways. We're not robots. We are a people. We're all individuals. And we are going to have differences of opinion and different ways of expressing things. And that's all part of God's gifting in us. But we are not to be divisive with one another. We are to be in unity together. That's the first principle that we see here. And in Philippians 4:3, he speaks about women who have been a great help to him. He said, "Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they've contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life." And so he says, these women have been a blessing. They've been a blessing. You know, sometimes we will look at what when maybe there is a situation at times. Maybe, you know, maybe you're cantankerous. Or maybe you've done something you shouldn't have done. What am I going to do with that? I'm going to look for the blessing. I'm going to look for how can I bless you? And you're going to look for how to bless me whenever I go astray or whenever things are not quite where they should be. And so even though he says that we have the same mind, he said, he encouraged them to be of the same mind, but then he encouraged the church, be a blessing to them. Look for ways to bless them, encourage them, because they've been a great help in the gospel. And it speaks of the rest of his co-workers whose names are in the book of life. So that was just a little bit of from really part of being a citizen in the citizenship in heaven. But here's one of the first principles I want to share with you today. First, of course, was to be of the same mind. The second one is to be an encouragement to others, as we see in Philippians 4:3. The third one is to rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. To rejoice in the Lord. We saw that when we started the book of Philippians that it was a letter of joy. And over again, it keeps giving this idea of rejoicing, of being joyful in God. Now, being joyful is not just an emotional experience, but it is also something that's based on truth. I have to be joyful over something. And in this case, what God gives to us is the highest thing that you can rejoice, the highest person that you can rejoice in, the highest reality that you could look at and find joy. Do you find your joy in God? Or are you seeking your joy elsewhere? Because I can guarantee you this, if you seek your joy elsewhere, you'll end up with no joy at all. You won't. Everything else is so fleeting. And that is why we have this strong statement here, not just rejoice in the Lord, but rejoice in the Lord what?
Always.
Always. And then what does he say? I will say it again, rejoice. If you're not finding your joy in the Lord, then something has gone wrong with your vision of who God is. You don't see him as he really is. If you don't see him as he really is, you're going to look for joy elsewhere. But I'll tell you this, if you really see the Lord for who he really is, you will be rejoicing in the Lord. And so where's your mind focused on Jesus Christ? Is your mind focused on the things of God? Do they fill your heart and your mind? You see, it doesn't say, every once in a while, have some joy in the Lord. But it's always, and again I say rejoice. So if you don't find that the Lord is the center of your joy, then something's gone wrong. If you're not a believer, I don't expect you to be rejoicing in the Lord. How could you? Why would you? You don't even know who he is. You don't understand what he's done for you. There's no interpersonal relationship that you have there. But if you do know the Lord, surely you've had some joy in Jesus Christ in your life. And I would encourage you to much more. I want to encourage you to rejoice in the Lord continually. It's practical instruction. It's not boring. It's a call of God on your life. Are you finding your joy in Jesus? If you're not, then I want to challenge you. Come back to the truth. Let your mind be focused on that which brings real blessing in your life. Because as you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, as you focus on who he is, as you open his word, as you hear sermons, as you pray, and as you seek his face, oh, my friends, rejoicing in the Lord is not a chore. It's not a boring event. It's life. Find your joy in Jesus. That will reflect itself, of course, in what you do. If you don't seek his face, if you don't pray, if you don't read his word, obviously you're not going to be found rejoicing in the Lord. But if you begin to do these things, you will discover the reality of who he is. And he goes farther. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. A gentle spirit is a beautiful thing, friends. It's not the most common experience that you can have with people. But when you encounter gentleness in someone, there's a power there. I find that a deep power. When someone is gentle, they may be firm, they may speak the truth, but there's a gentleness about them in how they go about it. And that is a powerful thing. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. It ought to be something that shines out of your life towards others, a gentle spirit. Because that is what Jesus said he was. He was gentle and lowly in heart. And then he says this little phrase, the Lord is near. Now, he's not just saying that the Lord is coming, but the Lord is very near now. It is him that brings gentleness. It is he that brings that encouragement. It is he that brings that kind of life. We are called to be united with Jesus. He's near. How near is he to you? Listen, for an unbeliever who doesn't know God and doesn't know who Jesus is, if they will just call on his name, according to Romans chapter 10, they'll be saved. That's how near it is. The Bible says the word is near, near to your heart. If you call on his name, you'll be saved. If he's that near to an unbeliever, how close is he to you? Jesus is very near. As an old hymn says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Do you realize how near he is to you now? Do you realize how close he is to you? How intimate he is with you right today, right at this moment? If you could, if we saw that in a greater light, what would we be doing? Rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord because he's very near. And he is. And that's, this gentleness is not a rebuke. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. It's an encouragement, friends. Because he is near, I can be gentle. And now we come to this area that has caused so much distress among people all over the world. And that is anxiety. Do not be anxious, he says, about anything. Where do you get off thinking you can do this? How can you live without anxiety and worry? Is it possible? How good are you at this? Huh? Who's the best at not worrying here? Nobody's going to put their hand up for that one, are you? But you know, you could just tell people, don't worry. There used to be a little song. What was it that was always on the radio?
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. It transformed the world, didn't it? So many people stopped worrying and were happy from after that one song.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? I don't think so either. Of course it didn't transform the world. Because if all we had was don't be anxious about anything, you'd be left to your own devices, and guess what you'll be? Anxious about probably everything. But instead it says, here's the answer for it. This is a practical answer that God gives to us so that we can know what to do. When anxiety begins to show, when circumstances come, when stress hits us, what will I do with it? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So what do we do when anxiety rises? Immediately, when we get a hint of being anxious, what does the Bible say to do?
Pray.
It says to pray. Turn it into prayer. By prayer and petition. Now, petition means you're asking for something, right? So you're asking for a way through. You're asking God to guide you in this. You're presenting this to the Lord, saying, Lord, I want to trust you with this situation. And it says to let your request be made known to God. Present your request to God with thanksgiving. Why thanksgiving? Well, first of all, I got somebody I can go to with this situation. And secondly, that I can have confidence that God is going to hear my prayer. He's going to do something with this. It may not be exactly what I think, because sometimes we pray amiss, don't we? Sometimes we don't get it right. But God knows what He's doing. I can trust God with a situation, no matter what it is. I can trust Him with it. I tell you, friends, anxiety is at an all-time high in our culture. The more we have, the more things we do, the busier we are, the more anxious we are, and there seems to be very little relief from it. But I can tell you that the drug companies are making a killing on it. They really are. Because anxiety is through the roof. Now, I'm not saying there aren't times when we need help to get ourselves on a keel. I'm not saying that isn't the case. I'm not dissing anybody ever using drugs when they're needed. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, a lot of it can be avoided. They're finding out that most university students are taking anti-anxiety medication because they're so burnt out and so anxious about their lives. It doesn't have to be that way. There is a place for us to turn to. We are not called to live by how we feel in the moment. You see, if I live by just how I feel in the moment, I'm anxious and anxiety grows and I think about it and say, that's just what I am, that's who I am. No, that's not true, friends. This is what God says. Come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. This is His invitation to us in the midst of this. Present your request to God. Now, what does it say that the answer to that comes? What comes from that? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He covers it all. He covers our hearts and He covers our minds. It says the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You know what it doesn't say here? It doesn't say that God will answer every prayer just the way you want it. That's not what it says. It says He'll deal with the anxiety and He will touch your heart and your mind. Not only will He touch your heart and mind, He said He will guard your heart and your mind. Your heart and your mind need guarding by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. Oh, that we could know how weak we all are, how insufficient we all are, and how much we need God every second in our lives. Because without Him, we fall apart. This is His promise. Is this practical? It's very practical, friends. So rather than going off on the tangent, stop and seek the Lord. Stop and lay your burdens at His feet. Stop and have a second look at the God of the universe. Is He not big enough to deal with the issue at hand? And even if He takes you through the darkest valleys, even if He takes you through the deepest storms, you can find yourself free from anxiety because you're laying your burdens at the feet of Jesus Christ. This is a daily affair. This is trusting God in this moment. And I've said this more than once. Most of us are anxious about something that has not yet happened. We are living in fear of the possibility of something. And it's a ridiculous place to live. God calls you to trust Him in this moment, and He will give grace for the next moment and the next moment after that as we trust in Him. Father, be gracious to us, and even today we pray that You will turn our hearts and our minds towards You, Lord. That we would, Lord, allow You to have the control of our lives and everything in them. And then He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, he's giving you some really practical instruction here. He's telling you, put your mind on these things. Whatever is true, stay away from the lies. Don't go to the gossip corner. Don't open your ears wider to hear some more juice about somebody else. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely. Are you getting this? Whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Take your mind out of these other places. Let your mind be fixed. And I can tell you, that when you take this list and you look at it, whatever is true, that's Jesus. Whatever is noble, that's Jesus. Whatever is right, that's Jesus. Whatever is pure, that's Jesus. Whatever is lovely, that's Jesus. Whatever is admirable, that's Jesus. If there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, that's Jesus. Do you see that? Do you see that the focus of life itself is Jesus Christ? Every moment, focus on Him. You can't go wrong, because everything on this list is Jesus Christ. Go there first, and then look at some other things. Because there are other things that are pure and noble and lovely and of good report. Let your life focus on these things. You know, if you've got garbage going in, let me ask you, what's going to come out of your life?
Garbage.
That's it. I remember years ago, just a little cartoon of a man standing in front of a rack of pornographic literature. And he had a hat on. And he was saying to the other fella, "This doesn't affect me at all, seeing this stuff." And the garbage is rolling out of his head from under his hat. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever things are pure and lovely or good report, go for those things. Fill your mind with those things. Focus in this direction. These are practical instructions of life. Now, by the Spirit of God, we can do these things. We can go in this direction. These two things are not unrelated when he says, not to be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Then he speaks about the peace of God, which passes understanding. So I deal with the anxiety. But then he says, go further, go deeper here. Because I can tell you, if you focus in this direction, you'll have less of the anxiety in the first place. You begin to get a little smoother in your mind as you focus on things that are right and pure and good and lovely and of good report. All of us are going to struggle. Some of us are a tendency to be more anxious than others. That's okay. But every one of us can take these steps. That's what I'm saying. Every one of us can go in this direction in your life and make sure that we go there. Watch out for what you do. Watch out what you say. Watch out how you speak about others. Make sure that what you're saying has nothing to do with gossip and slander or just speak down about some other person. Just even for a few months, speak down about them. You think that it elevates you maybe a little because then you're better. But you're not. Oh, guard your heart. Guard your mind. Guard your life. Avoid these things like the plague. Instead, go in this direction. And look what it says here. Whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's what he says. The God of peace will be with you. Are you carrying a little load today? Are there things that you're carrying around in anxiety and worry and fear and frustration? Bring them to Jesus. Lay them down at his feet. Trust him with these things. You see, all these things are practical instructions for the mind. And they will affect then your heart. And then you won't be running around making crazy decisions sometimes. Decisions that are based on what we're feeling in a given moment. Let me tell you, I've run into so much and so often people, Christians, who made terrible decisions because they didn't follow the truth. They didn't follow the word of God. They weren't living in this kind of relationship with God, laying everything at his feet. And so they're just tossed to and fro by whatever comes along in life. And so easily moved in one direction or the other based on how they feel. And sadly, sometimes even Christians get in this frame of mind that, you know, I feel like it's this way. And I've talked to Christians and said, you're feeling like it's this way, but the Bible says it's not that way, which is right. But for them, sometimes you get so wrapped up in how you're feeling, you say, yeah, but I just have to follow what I'm feeling here. Don't follow what you're feeling, follow the truth. There's a little illustration that I use sometimes about a train. You have the facts, you have faith, and you have feelings. Now, if you put feelings in the caboose, and you let the facts and faith follow behind, you're going to go on an awful ride, I can tell you this. Because some days you feel like you're on top of the world. Other days you feel like you're in the pit. And you'll be on a roller coaster that will just continue. But if you put faith at the front, which some people have the idea, just believe, but believe in what? You need facts. You need facts first. As you put facts first, then you have faith following, and then your feelings. Let them in the back part. Let the feelings in the caboose. And you'll find then that as you walk this way, trusting God, looking to the truth, your feelings will begin to line up in a proper way. You won't be driven around by your emotions in the moment. You won't be cold and hard. I don't believe in that. There are some people, their heads are full of facts, but they have no feeling at all. That's not what God wants. God is an emotional God. But put things first. Put the facts first. Put that as the engine of your life. The truth will set you free. Put your faith in the truth and the facts. And as your feelings follow, you'll find yourself lining up. And you will discover the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind. And as in Christ Jesus, you will find the God of peace will be with you. Notice what it says. Put it into practice. That's what it actually says here in Philippians 4:9. Put it into practice. Let me encourage you today to walk this way and know and experience the amazing power of God in your life and mine. Let's not miss the real thing, friends. Let's not come short in this. God is full of grace and mercy for you. He does not want his children running around filled with anxiety, worry, and fear, and frustration, and everything else. He wants you to be settled and living in dependence on the power of Almighty God to carry you. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, and you will find him to be faithful. The last verses I wanted to share with you, because they're tied with this, in Romans 12:1, it says, I beg of you, brothers, by God's mercy, present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Surrender yourself completely to God, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need our minds renewed. We need to have them focused on Jesus again and again and again. And as we do, as we surrender our lives to him, he'll show us what his will is for us. We don't have to live in anxiety. We can live in peace. May God grant us that. May we grow in it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.